Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Friday session of Abounding Grace. I am joined again with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We are very thankful to come to you each and every Friday and consider the doctrines of the Christian faith, how they apply to our lives as Christians, and consider what the Lord has revealed to us. He has told us so much about salvation and life, and we are thankful to do this each and every Friday. Well, today we thought we would take up the subject of original sin. Sin, of course, is a subject that often is sort of shoved under the carpet today, swept under, and it is very much avoided. Why do you think that's so, Wes?
Well, I think sin makes people uncomfortable, Chris. People don't want to talk about their sin, and part of that, I think, has to do with our culture's value, the value that our culture places on pride. You know, that we are people of value, we are people of worth. And anytime we bring up the subject of sin, people feel that that's under attack.
Right. Well, the Bible surely is not silent about this great doctrine, about what has happened to us as human beings in light of what Adam's sin was at the fall and how that is communicated and brought to us. Mm-hmm. Wes, would you discuss a little bit about what the doctrine of original sin is? And what we're doing here is distinguishing it from the actual sins that we commit in our lives. How would you define original sin?
Well, original sin, when we talk about original sin, we have to go back to the beginning, back to the origins of sin. And we have to go back to the first three chapters of the Bible. We have to look at what happened in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1 to 3. Adam and Eve were created perfectly upright. They were created in the image of God, and that included moral perfection. They were able to follow God's law. God commanded them not to eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan came into the picture. Satan tempted Eve, and she ate. She gave some to her husband, and he ate as well. And their eyes were open, knowing good and evil. And what we also have to take into account is the fact that Adam and Eve, when they committed this sin, they were not just doing this to themselves. They did not just incur God's judgment and condemnation on themselves, because Adam, in particular, was the head of the human race. He was the covenant head of the human race. And so his sin affects everyone who comes after him.
That is so important for us to grasp today. One of the passages that had a profound impact upon me was Romans chapter 5, when I had first understood this. Because typically today, we think that God only holds us accountable for the personal sins that we commit. And that's true. We are accountable for those personal sins, and people on Judgment Day will have to answer for all of their personal sins. But the real striking thing about Romans chapter 5 was I was confronted with the issue that God held the whole human race accountable for the sin of Adam. And right. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we read, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." Now, the Pelagian view of that reading is that all made a choice to sin individually, and that's why they're accountable. But the real thing I was struck with in that passage when I first grasped this is that when it says all sinned, that's an aorist tense. And that means that it was a definitive action of the past.
Right.
Definitive that happened in the past. And so what he's saying there is that when Adam sinned, as our federal head, we all sinned in Adam, and we were accountable for that sin in Adam.
Right. The Puritans had a saying, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. And I think that's a good way to describe it. And what I frequently find when you bring this up to people is that people right away throw out the accusation that this is unfair. Why should we be held accountable? Why should we have to live with the consequences of what Adam did? And this idea of covenant headship, that Adam was the covenant head of the whole entire human race, people have a difficulty with that. They have trouble with it. But what I often say to people who bring those objections is that, you know, this idea of headship, maybe it's not covenant headship, but it does function elsewhere in our daily lives. And I teach students from my church. They go to school, they have a band. And I tell them, you know, you may go to a band concert. You're playing in the band. You're part of the band. And the band leader will come to the front and he'll say, well, ladies and gentlemen, we've decided that we're going to play this wonderful piece for you. We think this piece is a beautiful piece. And you could be sitting there in the band and you'd be thinking, this is a stupid piece. I don't even like this piece of music. I don't like to play it. But the band leader chose the piece of music. You're in the band. You're playing the music. That's just the way that it goes. Another example would be on the soccer field, or any other sports event. You know, quite often they'll flip a coin to see, you know, who's going to go first or what have you. The team captain calls heads. You may be sitting at the back of the team, and you say, no, tails. Well, sorry, the captain called heads. He's the captain of the team. You have to live with the consequences of that.
Right, and you know the Bible constantly presents things this way. Adam stood as our federal head, and Wes gave some good analogies. I always like to use analogy of our president. Whatever he does, he acts on behalf of the nation. So that if the president signs a bill to go to war, all the nation is at war.
Right.
So you know, here in Psalm 51, David had this understanding. He says there, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. And he goes on, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. And he says, blot out my transgressions, watch me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. And then he goes on to say, when this sin was a reality in his life, he says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me.
Right.
So this was a sin that was there just by birth.
Mm-hmm.
It was there already reckoned to his account, and he was a sinner even through conception.
Right. Traditionally, we say that we are conceived and born in sin. That's a popular way of expressing this doctrine of original sin. Now, unfortunately, when some people hear that, they assume that that's making a statement about sexuality, that sexuality, the act of a physical union between a man and a woman, is dirty and it causes this sin. Nothing could be further than the truth. Conceived and born in sin simply means that sin is transmitted through the human race, that it's something that we have received from our first parents, Adam and Eve. It has nothing to do with the morality of sexuality.
Yeah, something like Psalm 58 adds to that. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. And then he goes on, break their teeth in their mouth, O God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, these are very strong statements about the Lord's view of sin, that he is angry not only with our personal sin, but the sin that we are born with.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't shove this under the carpet. This is the reality the Bible presents to us. God does hold us all accountable for the sin of Adam. That is all reckoned to our account.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, I mean, just turn on the news. Look at our prisons. Look at what's going on in society. People are stuck in the dominion of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows that this is not a natural thing. This flows from having that imputed to our accounts through Adam.
And I think the proper way to look at original sin in relation to our actual sins is that original sin is the root of all kinds of sin, actual sin in our life. It's like a plant, you could say, and the roots are the original sin, and they sprout up, and they produce all kinds of original, actual sins in our lives.
Now, as we look at sin and we discuss this doctrine of sin, it has to be preached today, because if we don't preach this is what we want to get to now as we close this program on this Friday. We preach this doctrine and we make it very clear because we don't understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ without understanding what happened to us in Adam and what has been compounded since then in all of our personal sins.
That's right. And there's hope for all humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This original sin is also paid for when we believe in Jesus Christ, because with him too, we have salvation from all sin, original sin and actual sins. There's deliverance with him.
Right. And so we have to be willing, and the Lord commands this, to proclaim our fallen states, to reveal to our people, especially as pastors, to proclaim what the Lord says. You know, much of the Bible is full of exposing the heart of sinful man. I mean, Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Mm-hmm.
And so this has to be proclaimed so that we get to the great truth of Romans 5. Therefore, as one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So salvation works in the same way, Wes.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Adam's sin was imputed to our account, when we come to Christ, we trust in him. What we recognize is that he represented us.
Right.
And that his righteousness in the same way is imputed to our account.
He's the second Adam. And I think what we're looking at here is the good news of the great exchange. I think that's what Martin Luther called it. The great exchange whereby our sins are imputed to Christ. He takes all our sins, our original and actual sins, upon himself. And all of his perfect righteousness is imputed to us. And that's good news.
Yes, it's good news as we look out in a world of death all around us. As we look out at sin just corrupting the entire human race, and we see the horrible things go on each and every day, and we say, well, Lord, why does this happen? I was watching this the other day. A young man in his hometown was lamenting, why does the Lord allow these horrible things to happen? Well, the great question of that is, why did the Lord send his son to redeem?
Yeah.
And that's the glorious question
yeah.
of the gospel that he did for us.
Yeah. Thank God.
So, Wes, we proclaim these great doctrines of sin and grace each and every week. Tell us about the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Langley Canadian Reformed Church, we worship on Sundays at 9:30 and 2 o'clock. People want more information, they can give me a phone call, 604-220-7718. You can also go to our website, www.langleycanrc.org.
Well, we thank you for joining us today, and until another edition of Abounding Grace, may the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.